You're listening to Radio Hanger. I'm Vector, and this is Clear Direct. So here is a question I want you to sit with for a second. When you think about electric aviation, what comes to mind? Air taxis, eVTOLs, little pods buzzing around skyscrapers. We have talked about a lot of those on this show. Joby, Archer, Lilium, Whisk, Pivotal, the whole vertical takeoff universe. But what about a regular airplane? Wings, a fuselage, a conventional tail? Something that takes off from a runway, climbs to altitude, flies a route, and lands at another airport. An airplane that does what airplanes already do, except it runs on batteries instead of jet fuel. That airplane exists, it has already flown, and almost nobody is talking about it. Its name is Alice, built by a company called Eviation, based in Arlington, Washington. And I think Alice might be the most important electric aircraft flying today precisely because it is the least flashy. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the real milestones in your flying career. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI, the whole journey, beautifully crafted, built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. Alright, let's break this down. Alice is a fixed-wing, all-electric commuter aircraft designed to carry 9 passengers. Think of it as occupying roughly the same space as a Cessna 408 Sky Courier or a Pilatus PC-12, regional hops, short routes. The kind of flying where you're connecting small cities that are maybe 100, maybe 250 nautical miles apart. The airplane made its first flight on September 27, 2022, at Grant County International Airport in Moses Lake, Washington, 8 minutes in the air. Not long, but those 8 minutes were historic because Alice became the largest all-electric fixed-wing airplane to ever fly. Now, I know what you're thinking. 8 minutes? That is a pattern circuit, not a revolution, and you're right to be skeptical. But here's the thing. Every new propulsion technology in aviation history started with a short hop. The Wright Flyer went 12 seconds. The first turbojet-powered flight in the Heinkel 178 lasted about 6 minutes. 8 minutes for a 9-seat electric commuter is actually right on schedule for where this technology is in its development arc. The power comes from two Magnix Magni 650 electric propulsion units mounted on the tail. Each one produces 850 shaft horsepower. That is serious power. These are not hobby motors. Magnix, spelled with a lowercase m, has been one of the quieter but more credible players in electric propulsion. They also powered the modified de Havilland Beaver that flew in 2019, which was the first commercial electric aircraft flight in history. The configuration is interesting from an engineering standpoint. Putting both motors on the rear of the fuselage, flanking a conventional vertical stabilizer, gives you a very clean wing. No engine nacelles hanging off the leading edge, no prop wash over the control surfaces during asymmetric thrust situations. The wing is optimized purely for lift and efficiency. That matters enormously when every watt hour counts. And that is the central tension of this entire airplane: energy density. The thing that makes electric aviation brutally hard. Let me put some numbers on it. Jet A has an energy density of roughly 12,000 watt-hours per kilogram. The best lithium-ion battery cells available today sit around 250 to 300 watt-hours per kilogram. That is a factor of 40 times less energy per unit of weight. That is not a gap you close with clever engineering. That is a physics wall. So, how does Alice deal with it? By accepting realistic limitations and designing around them. The current published range target is 250 nautical miles with visual flight rules reserves. That is not transcontinental. It is not even cross-state for most states, but it covers a surprisingly large number of existing commuter routes. Boston to Nantucket. Los Angeles to Las Vegas, if you push it. Dallas to Austin. Hundreds of city pairs in the 200-mile bracket that are currently served by turboprops burning hundreds of gallons of fuel per trip. The data tells an interesting story when you look at regional aviation economics. About 40% of all scheduled commuter flights in the United States cover routes under 300 nautical miles. Those routes are disproportionately expensive to operate on a per-seat mile basis because turboprop engines, while efficient for their class, still burn a lot of fuel relative to the number of passengers they carry. An electric drivetrain eliminates fuel cost entirely and replaces it with electricity cost, which on a per kilowatt hour basis is dramatically cheaper and far more stable in price. Eviation has published operating cost estimates suggesting Alice could reduce direct operating costs by up to 70% compared to a conventional turboprop on equivalent routes. Now, I want to put a big asterisk on that number. It assumes mature battery prices, established maintenance procedures, and a charging infrastructure that does not yet exist at scale. But even if the real number is 40%, that is transformational for regional operators running thin margins. Cape Air has placed an order. If you have flown in the northeastern United States or between Florida and the Bahamas, you have probably seen their Cessna 402s. Cape Air operates one of the largest commuter networks in the country, and they see Alice as a potential replacement for their aging piston fleet. DHL has also signed on ordering a cargo variant called Alice eCargo for short-haul package delivery. That is a smart play because cargo does not complain about range anxiety. Here's what most people miss about Alice. The airplane is not trying to compete with a Boeing 737 or even an Embraer E-175. It is not trying to electrify long-haul aviation. It is targeting a very specific slice of the market where the range limitation of batteries is not a limitation at all. It is a feature because it forces the airplane into exactly the routes where electric propulsion makes the most economic sense. Think about it from a pilot's perspective. You're flying a 9-seat commuter on a 150-mile leg. Your turboprop burns maybe 60 gallons of fuel at current prices. That is somewhere around $400 in fuel alone. One way Alice would consume the electrical equivalent of maybe $30 to $40 of energy for the same trip, even accounting for battery depreciation and higher capital costs. The math starts looking very compelling very quickly. But let us talk about the hard parts, because there are several. Battery weight is the obvious one. Alice has a maximum takeoff weight of around 16,600 pounds. A significant portion of that is batteries. When your energy storage weighs almost as much as your payload, you are in a constant engineering fight between range, useful load, and structural margins. Every pound of battery you add gives you more range, but takes away a passenger seat or a bag. That trade-off does not exist with liquid fuel in the same way, because fuel is so energy dense that the weight penalty is manageable. Charging time is another real concern. Filling a turboprop with jet fuel takes 10 minutes. Charging a battery pack large enough to fly 250 nautical miles is going to take meaningfully longer, even with fast charging infrastructure. Eviation has talked about a 30-minute fast charge, but that is optimistic and depends on battery chemistry, thermal management, and charger availability. For an airline that wants to turn an airplane around quickly between flights, charging time directly impacts revenue per aircraft per day. Then there is the certification path. Alice is being certified under 14 CFR Part 23, which covers normal category airplanes. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, does not yet have a fully mature certification framework for electric propulsion systems at this scale. They have been working on it. Special conditions have been issued. But the process is slower and less predictable than certifying a conventional power plant, because the failure modes are different, the thermal management requirements are different, and the energy storage safety standards are still evolving. Eviation has been open about the fact that the certification timeline has slipped. Originally, they talked about entry into service around 2024 or 2025. That has moved to the right. Current projections suggest late 2027 at the earliest for a type certificate, and honestly, 2028 would not surprise me. This is not unusual for novel aircraft programs. The Honda Jet took over 2 decades from concept to certification. The Eclipse 500, the original very light jet, went through bankruptcy before it finally reached customers. New airplanes are hard. New airplanes with new propulsion technology are harder. But I want to zoom out for a moment and talk about why Alice matters in the broader context of where aviation is headed. The industry is under enormous pressure to decarbonize. The International Civil Aviation Organization's long-term aspirational goal of net zero carbon emissions by 2050 is not going away. Sustainable aviation fuel, or SAF, is part of the answer for long haul. But SAF is expensive, supply constrained, and still produces carbon dioxide at the point of combustion, even if the life cycle emissions are lower. For short-haul routes, electric propulsion is a fundamentally cleaner solution. No combustion, no direct emissions, and if the grid electricity comes from renewables, the life cycle emissions approach zero. Alice is not the only fixed-wing electric airplane in development. There is the Bi Aerospace eFlyer, which targets the training market with a 2-seat electric trainer. Pipistrel, now part of Textron, already has the Velis Electro certified for training in Europe. Heart Aerospace in Sweden is working on the ES-30, a 30-seat hybrid electric regional airliner. But Alice occupies a unique position because it is the largest all-electric airplane to have actually flown, and it is targeting a genuine commercial mission, not just training circuits. From a pilot's perspective, flying an electric airplane is different in some important ways. There is no mixture to lean, no propeller RPM to manage separately from power, no carburetor heat. The power response is nearly instantaneous, like a jet, but without the spool-up time. Torque is available from 0 RPM. That changes your takeoff technique, your go-around response time, and your energy management on approach. The cockpit in Alice is fully glass, as you would expect for a clean-sheet design in this decade. Eviation has been working with suppliers on an integrated flight deck, though they have been less public about the specific avionics partner than some competitors. What we do know is that the system's architecture is fly-by-wire, and the battery management system is deeply integrated with the flight controls. If a battery module degrades or overheats, the system needs to manage that gracefully, redistributing load and adjusting available power without the pilot having to manually diagnose a cell-level failure at 2,000 feet on short final. That battery management piece is actually where a lot of the real engineering challenge lives. It is not just about having enough energy. It is about monitoring thousands of individual cells, keeping them within safe temperature and voltage windows, balancing charge across modules, and doing all of that while the airplane is bouncing through turbulence in a Florida summer. Thermal runaway and a lithium-ion battery is not a theoretical concern. It is a well-documented failure mode that has grounded fleets of other vehicles. The FAA takes this very seriously, and rightly so. Eviation has designed a distributed battery architecture with multiple independent packs and redundant cooling systems. The idea is that a failure in one module does not cascade to adjacent modules and does not result in a loss of power to both motors simultaneously. That is the same design philosophy we see in twin-engine conventional aircraft. Lose one engine, you can still fly. Lose one battery pack, you still have power. The question is whether the certification testing can prove that to the FAA's satisfaction. I will be honest with you, I think Alice has about a 50-50 shot of making it to full commercial service in its current form. The technology works. The first flight proved that the economics are promising on paper. The customer interest is real, but the gap between a flight test program and a revenue service airplane is enormous, and Eviation is a relatively small company burning cash in a capital-intensive industry. They have raised significant funding, but they will need more before Alice carries its first paying passenger. What I am confident about is that the category Alice represents, the short-haul, all-electric commuter, will exist. If Eviation does not get there first, someone else will. The physics supports it for ranges under 300 miles. The economics demand it as fuel costs remain volatile and carbon regulations tighten. And the operational simplicity of an electric drivetrain, fewer moving parts, lower maintenance burden, quieter operations, those are genuine advantages that regional operators are hungry for. For those of you flying piston singles or light twins into small airports on short hops, imagine a world where the commuter traffic sharing your pattern is nearly silent. No turboprop growl on the downwind. Just a quiet hum that is not science fiction, that is the near future. The engineering story here was drawn from Eviation's published specifications, Magnix propulsion data, reporting by Aviation Week and Flight Global, and the FAA's special conditions documentation for electric propulsion certification. If you want to dig deeper into the electric aviation space, we have been building a library of these segments at radiohanger.com. I'm Vector, fly precise, and I will see you next time on Clear Direct.